Welcome to Entrepreneurial Insights, a podcast brought to you by the Society of Entrepreneurs and hosted by Pearson Crutcher and Jay Healy. The Society of Entrepreneurs is a membership organization founded to promote entrepreneurship and provide education and resources to Memphis business owners.
In this podcast, we'll have a series of interviews with accomplished business owners and entrepreneurs in Memphis, Tennessee. There are so many great entrepreneurs in Memphis, and their stories need to be told.
Welcome to Entrepreneurial Insights. Welcome to Entrepreneurial Insights. Our conversation today is with Denise Stewart. Denise is the president and CEO of OR Nurses Nationwide. Her company provides hundreds of travel nurses all across the country. We hope that you enjoy the show. I'm so excited today to have my good friend Denise Stewart with us. Denise is the president and CEO of OR Nurses. I've had the good fortune of knowing Denise for a long time. She's one of the ones that came up through our Insights group and then was inducted into the Society of Entrepreneurs. So welcome, Denise. We're so excited to have you today.
I'm glad to be here.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
First of all, tell us a little bit about you. Were you born in Memphis? Did you grow up here? Where
No,
are you from?
Born in California, Bakersfield, you know, kind of in the middle. And then we moved to Southern California and lived there till right before junior high and then moved to Memphis. Just enough to go to junior high and high school and be traumatized by the change and the difference in culture. And then moved to, you know, St. Louis and in the Midwest and then eventually made it back to Memphis.
So did you come to Memphis because of a parent's job or?
No, a husband's job transfer.
Oh, got you. Okay, very good. So then you came here and then you came back to Memphis. What brought you back to Memphis? Job also?
The job, yeah.
Opportunity. And what were you doing during all of that time? Because you didn't have a company right away.
No, I was in college and then I went to nursing school, became a nurse. Worked for a while there in Springfield, Missouri, then in the Midwest, then made my way back to Memphis and started working here.
And then you started OR Nurses when? And tell us a little bit about that.
1988, a long time ago. I had a very good friend that I met in the surgery suite at St. Francis Hospital. And she was 12 years older than I. She was a veteran nurse, had been in the Vietnam era, and just a ball of fire. And so she and I talked, and she was talking to a few other nurses, but she called me on July 4th, and she said, okay, we can do this better. We can provide the best OR nurses that are qualified to these hospitals that are in need. I said, absolutely, let's do it. So we moved forward and she had the $5,000 and I got the first contract. And then we just kept moving forward, getting contracts. And we worked with the nurses and we were working in the hospitals. And it was about a year and she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Well, she didn't really tell me it was stage four. And so she was going to make it, you know, and she was a fighter. And it was a whole year. And then I lost her in August of 1990. So that was tough. But it kind of gave me that, okay, we set this goal. We wanted to do this. We wanted it to be excellent. And I'm going to do everything I can to push it forward as we envisioned it to be.
So tell me, the company Travel Nurses and OR Nurses. I know it's Travel Nurses now, but it started out just providing local OR nurses.
Well, we did kind of a local regional presence, and it was OR Nurses, and from 1988 to 1998. Well, then our hospitals kept saying, we sure could use extra, you know, help. We need some help in ER and ICU and everywhere else in the hospital. And we did specialty nurses. And so we said, okay. So we In 1998, we said, let's do it all. So we got a real office and got out there and realized that it's a 24/7 business when you do everything. And so we had to restructure how we did business and it was great, you know, and then we've grown ever since.
So how many contracts do you have? And they're not just local? I mean, you've got nurses all over the country, don't you?
Yes. We used to, back in the 90s and even in the early 2000s, we did quote unquote travel. We would have hospitals call us from California, Hawaii, Alaska, just different places. And we would try to meet the needs, get a contract, and, you know, send a good nurse. So we decided to brand what we do in travel in 2017. So it's called Travel Nurses, Inc., and it's got its own, you know, we co-brand right now, but the big focus is in the travel arena because the need is so great. And we go everywhere, all across the country. So contracts, goodness, so many, I can't even count, because we can't fill all the needs. You know, they're sent to us digitally, so we see them come through all the time, and it routed through our website. And when our nurses go on our website, they can see active jobs, and it refreshes constantly. And it's an amazing dilemma that we're in healthcare, truly.
So you started this way before COVID and this current situation, but the current situation has made it so that your job, I bet, is insanely busy.
Well, let me put it this way. Last year, we had about 30, 31 corporate employees. This doesn't count our nurses out working. And now we have 50 corporate employees. And where we used to have 300 nurses out working, we now have, like just this last week, there was 488 nurses.
My goodness.
All over.
How do you find the nurses that are working for you?
A lot of times it's by referral, but we have a great website that, you know, nurses now, they want to make it easy. They go online, they look up, you know, and so our marketing department is doing an excellent job, and that, you know, they have that search engine optimization.
SEO.
Yeah. Anyway, that's their arena, but they do the SEO and everything that would attract a search to our website. And then so many, you know, sign on there. And I think over the past probably 3 months, the amount of brand new nurses to our company has tripled.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
So I just don't know this about nursing, but I know some places you have to be licensed in that state. Is that not the way it is in nursing? You could work in anywhere as long
as you have your license. And there is a compact license where, like, Tennessee has compact agreement with Arkansas, Mississippi, and several other states now have gone compact. So I could work in Tennessee under the same license that I work over here in this state that recognizes it. Of course, California doesn't. It's their thing. It's got to be their license. And a few other states, more are coming around to be compact. So it makes it easier for the nurses to, you know, get there. And they waived it for a while because the need was so great.
So I'm curious, before it was travel nurses, when you were doing ER or?
OR.
OR.
Operating room.
Okay.
Yeah.
What benefit was there for the hospitals to use you as a service or the nurses to use you as a service?
That's a great question, and we get that a lot. And, you know, that's part of the conversation we have with our clients and often with our nurses. What it is when we started out, we would require 5 years experience, you know, whereas now so many companies, they require one. We feel like if we're going to come in and be a respite for that hospital, and we're going to help them through a tough time, we better know what we're doing. So when we go in, we should help and not have to go in and be oriented by their people. But what was your second part of the question? I'm kidding.
What value were you able to provide to the hospitals that they couldn't do themselves, hiring nurses directly?
Well, you know, the shortage has been there since I got out of school. It's just kind of been an exponential growth need. And I've talked to so many hospitals and said, you know, we could come in and just fill that need where you've got vacancies. And then when your vacancies are filled, you know, we go on to the next need. It has gotten so bad now as far as the need for hospitals to have nurses. They're retiring. COVID has worn them out. And so many nurses now, especially the young ones, when they get out, they want to have options. they're not, it's not the way it used to be when
sure,
I was
full-time worker, same hospital forever.
Yeah, come and you can work here and move up and retire. It's not like that anymore. They want options. They want to be able to say, well, I'm going to go to Alaska and I'll take my husband and kids and we can work up there and we can see Alaska, you know, in the off days. And so that's what a lot of them do.
Yeah. And in your model, did a lot of your nurses become full-time employees of the hospitals eventually?
Yes. Okay. In fact, a great example, St. Jude was one of our very first clients. I mean, we've been doing business since 1990 with them, and we have a direct contract with them. But when our nurses go to St. Jude, of course, they fall in love with it. And St. Jude falls in love with our nurses. So I can't even count how many, but we have, you know, shared many nurses with St. Jude, and they're very happy. So if our client's happy, we're happy. We want to pair good matches together. Some facilities are in such a, they maybe are in a very bad situation right now, and it's not appealing for a nurse to want to stay permanently. But when we can do it, we do it.
I know that travel nurses end up making a whole lot more than regular nurses. Is that always been the way it is, or is that because of the pandemic? Because I know I've heard mind-boggling numbers of bonuses that hospitals are paying to keep nurses and to attract new nurses. So.
Well, I think the hospitals have been, they've had a huge challenge, and it is, you know, take care of who you have and, you know, develop and reward them, because when the other nurses come in, you know, our nurses, we train them. You don't go in and talk about what you make, you know.
Yeah.
And secondly, you don't recruit from the client. I mean, that's not why we're there. And so there are crazy rates right now. There are some rogue agencies out there that are, I don't even know why the hospitals are doing business with them, except that they're so desperate. And so they're putting everything out there on Instagram and Facebook. And you're like, are you kidding that you can make that much in a week? So what I've always told the hospital is, in comparison, you've got a full-time employee. Okay, so you have to deal with benefits. So you have to pay benefits. You have to deal with HR issues. You have to, I mean, there's a myriad of things that a full-time employee must be considered for when they're working for the hospital. We come in, they don't have to pay for all that. But if you're just taking, you make this per hour and, you know, you're charging the hospital this much, they can't put it together sometimes. So you have to kind of explain it better. So in many situations, we don't cost as much in the long run. But at first glance, if you're just looking at hourly, you know, that doesn't.
How do you recruit the nurses? So I know you said that your web presence is huge, but how do you retain them and keep them on your payroll? Because it's got to cost you a lot of money. If they do go work for a hospital, that's one less nurse that you have to send somewhere else.
Yeah, and it can be a real big revolving door. But we have nurses that have been with us for years and years. And they have, I mean, I remember way back, we gave a nurse a 15-year pin, you know, when we were doing those kind of things back in the early days. And we have great recruiters. We've got great support staff, and especially our clinical staff that supports the nurses. And again, especially now, they'll get calls and they get literally talk them off the cliff. And, you know, provide meaning again to what they do.
From when you started this with your partner, with just kind of an idea and then executed it to the point of where you are today, what would you say led to the success so far?
It's really the people that we have. I mean, I've got corporate staff that have been with me 23 years, you know, 20 and more. And I used to run it out of my house for a long time in the early days. And I only had a couple of part-time employees. And my very first employee, she kind of retired and moved to East Tennessee. But I mean, she would have been with us. I hired her in 92. So if she had continued to stay with us, that would have been even longer. But they're wonderful, talented people. And I think our culture just supports longevity and collaboration, and, you know, they support one another.
Mm-hmm. And how would you describe the culture?
Well, you know, we used to do the mission statement and the vision and all that kind of stuff, which nobody ever remembers, really and truly. It looks good on a brochure.
It sure does, yeah.
Or on a website. But, you know, we pretty much just say we're a company that we treat our clinical staff with respect, with kindness, you know, with a fun attitude. We treat one another, you know, to collaborate. The word I think I used was collaborate passionately and have fun doing it. Enjoy what you do. If I had it in front of me, I could read it really well. But the main thing, I did do a quote in our culture statement on the website. And the quote was from Ben Horowitz. And he wrote a book. He's a venture capitalist and he wrote a book. And I took this one quote from him and it says, you know, 20, 30 years from now, you're not going to remember, you know, this, or the deals that we did or the money that we made. You're going to remember what it felt like to work here and, you know, how you were able to accomplish and do the things that you wanted to do. You know, the rest of it is just a footnote, basically.
Yeah. And in your operations department, if you will, do you have a lot of nurses working there?
No, I only have two nurses on staff. And, you know, I look at other companies, our competitors all over the country, and they have a big staff of nurses. Well, our two nurses handle 500-600 nurses because that 488 is just for the week. We've got all these others in our database and more than that that are processing in. So they have a very good rapport with their staff and they train them very well and they know how to, you know, deal with situations and then refer them to the nurses. So we just have two, but they're great.
What has been the biggest challenge that you've faced as a business owner? Is it net current times?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, just as a company that doesn't have a outside investor right now with the incredible growth that we've had, cash flow is the biggest challenge because you can be very, very profitable and manage the company very well, but you know, we pay every week, we bill every week, but then the payments from the hospitals may not come in until 60 days, you know, or longer. So you look at that over a period of time and it can escalate, especially when you're growing as fast as we are.
It's not uncommon that a high growth company has negative cash flow.
Yes.
Yeah.
The key is balancing it just right. But what we have done recently is we've moved to Simmons Bank and they have been amazing and they have helped us and immediately said, you know, we want to be a growth partner with you. And they've done it. I mean, not giving us any pushback. They know that we're a solid company. And so we're pretty excited about
that.
That's
good.
That's great. You know, your background, I mean, your degree is in nursing. So
right.
How have you learned about the business part of the business?
That's a good question because I've always just had I just always understood it. I didn't have anyone in my family really that did it. But here's the key. I know how to use my resources. So you use those that are very talented in those areas that you don't have to do it all and you shouldn't do it all. So I have an executive team right now and they're so incredibly talented, EVP of clinical operations, of finance, of staffing services, and marketing and development.
So those people all contribute to helping you. Did you ever have any mentors or advisors that were helpful also?
So many. I think back and very supportive family, first of all, my parents and, you know, very affirming. One of my first mentors was my older brother. And I watched him, you know, he has a dental practice and you'd think, oh, well, you know, he's a dentist. But the way he ran his dental office and the way he treated his people, they're still with him. And I learned a lot from him. And then when I came up through the Insight Group with Society of Entrepreneurs, I was able to meet several great mentor, other you know, his other businessmen and women. But the main one was Mike Bruns. And we went to his office and we went through his office and the things that he shared on the tour and, you know, just everything about the way he treated his people. We went back and did like almost everything he talked about in our office. And it made a huge difference.
Can you give a few examples of them?
Yes. Like, you know, it's not just somebody's name on a cubicle, but have their name and their years of service. You know, how long have they been there? And then, you know, something special about that person. Just the way that he, you know, he's so good about treating everyone the same. I mean, he never tries to put himself up above. Everybody is equally important. And that was just a great example of, you know, just because you have had success doesn't mean you're all that and that you can't appreciate the people because they're the ones that helped you get here. And I learned that early on, but especially seeing it, you know, in action with my brother, with Mike, you know, and all those in the Insight group that were so helpful and so willing to share their experience and their journey.
Yeah, it is a great group. It's a lot of fun.
It is.
Very good. Well, what is the best decision that you've made as you've grown your business? Any one thing that made you the most proud or?
I would have to say, well, back in 2019, I completely restructured the company. And I was extremely proud of the new direction we were taking because it became more like the company that I had before 2011. And there's a whole nother story in the middle, but it doesn't bear repeating, really. But restructuring the company and seeing people step up and just being allowed to do their jobs and watch them grow and watch them, you know, expand into these wonderful professionals that, you know, have contributed so much to the company and so much to the current growth. Just because the hospitals are really busy and they're asking for help doesn't mean we would have grown so fast had we not had the people to do it and take care of it. And so my executive team, probably I'm most proud of all of them.
If somebody came to you today and said, Denise, I'm thinking about starting a business, what would you say to them?
It depends on what kind of business it is. You know, be sure that if you're going to start a business, be sure that you know and understand the business and that you have good resources and good people that you can call on to help you. You know, get good financial advice, get good legal advice. But, you know, if you're passionate about something and you're very knowledgeable about it and you want to grow that passion and that knowledge, then you should do it. I wouldn't discourage them.
Where do you see OR Nurses in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I see us as getting to a place where we can bring on other companies, you know, we can acquire and we can grow. My son, Brian Burnett, works with me. He's the EVP of marketing and development and extremely talented in vision and strategic planning for the company. He keeps up with all of our competitors and there's, you know, growth in IT. There's different things that we could look at that where we can grow. Right now we have specialty nursing and we're, instead of going out and trying all these other things, do what you're good at and make sure that you can do it. So yeah, expanding and growing, you know, we've had so many companies contact us and want to come in and buy us and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we're talking to some of them and I've actually talked to Mike Bruns about it and wanted to know his experience with that process. And, you know, and I mean, it's a logical evolution of a company. And so, especially an owner. And so that may be, you know, that may be something where I semi-retire and I let my executive team move in and continue, you know, what they're doing. And we may get an investor, we may get, you know, teamed up with another company that's bigger, or we may go out and acquire another company.
That's great. Very cool. So Denise, I have a very important question. Do you think that entrepreneurs are born or taught?
I think they're born. I'm just prejudiced that way because I just don't think you can teach someone to have a passion for what they're going to do or what they're doing. You know, you can say, come in here and, you know, do this, and you can share your passion with them and hope that they take it and move it and go do their own thing. But I just think they're born with that willingness to take a risk, willingness to, you know, invest whatever they have personally to get to that point where they know they can grow and where they're willing to ask for help and, you know, bring others in that can make them better.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So.
I agree with every answer.
Exactly. It's a very good question. We get lots of different answers. But I do also have a question. Did being in Memphis help you in any way, shape, or form with your business?
You know, I think it did. I think my familiarity with Memphis from my growing up days, that 6 years, even though it's not long, it's a very impactful time, junior high and high school. You know, Memphis. In Memphis, you meet somebody and you don't say, where'd you go to college? You go, where'd you go to high school?
Exactly.
So is
where did you go to high school?
Germantown.
Okay. Yeah. I did not know that.
We moved out in the boonies when we came here, and it literally was two lanes out there with a bunch of horses and pastures.
And the sign said, yes. Horses 10. Yes. So I grew up out there too.
Yeah. It was a great place to grow up. But yeah, I think just that and the fact that I had experience when I was working in surgery at Baptist, there was a job that came open to teach. And so I went to Baptist and taught for 5 years. And that was huge. That helped me kind of be able to pour back into the nurses the values I felt were very important. And to see them, you know, move on with their careers was really great. But I had two small boys at the time, and I wanted to go part-time, and so I did, and then got laid off 6 weeks later because of a huge budget cut, and that's how I met Carol. So if that hadn't happened, I never would have probably, maybe I would have, you know, said, let's do this. But she was, it's great to have a partner like that, that you can go in kind of arms locked and, you know, do it.
Yeah, I bet it was scary to do it alone after you'd had a partner for a long time, too.
Yeah. Well, by then we had a lot of nurses that were out there. We had already picked up contracts at the different hospitals, and it was so much fun getting to know all individuals at the hospital. We could deal directly with them and building those relationships, and we're still helping every single facility that we helped in the early days.
That says a lot about your company, for sure. Memphis is known for an entrepreneurial spirit. Why do you think that is?
I think it's a very supportive place when it comes to, you know, just the finance world here in Memphis with the, you know, there's a lot of legal resources here. There's, you look at the Pink Palace and, you know, you hear stories of all those that came before, and it's like, what a great place to be, you know, and can't really put my finger on, you know, why Memphis, why we worked as a company in Memphis. The need was there. We met it. We were very strict about the kind of nurses that we sent. They had to be the best. And, you know, it wasn't just about the money. It was about, we tell all of our staff, especially our recruiters, if you as a recruiter can take really good care of your nurses, then they'll take really good care of the patient, because that's the end goal. You know, that's why we do it. We don't do it. I mean, yes, we're a business and we want to be profitable and we want to grow, but that's not the only reason that we do it.
I know your company has a culture of giving back to the community. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, we have. From the very beginning, we have kind of felt like, and a lot of this started early on from a faith perspective. You know, we get X amount, and so 10% of that we want to give back. And so we kind of started out that way. Well, now we've had to limit it to 4, and we figured let's do what we, you know, what we're promoting, which is nurse education, of course, St. Jude, church health, giving, you know, an opportunity for the working poor. And 2 of the universities here, we contribute to their nursing programs for scholarships.
That's great. You've certainly done a lot to give back, and we as Memphis appreciates that.
So. Oh, it's our staff feels really good about it because they know. And, you know, our nurses feel good about it because they can see the scholarships that are awarded. And, you know, if they're, say, they're over at Loewenberg College of Nursing or they're at Baptist University, they can see the scholarships that are available. So we have one in OR Nurses Nationwide, one in Carol Patterson's name so that we can, you know, honor her through these years. And we have two over at Loewenberg, and they named an OR Skills Lab after us, OR Nurses Nationwide Skills Lab. It was great. We love that. But what we have found in these most recent years is the demographic of these nursing students is changing. So we try to give now, instead of making another scholarship and another scholarship, we give money to a discretionary fund, and we leave it up to the dean to decide which students in their last year is going to need help. So let's say, you know, you're a single mom, you've got two children, and, you know, you're just doing the best you can. You're trying to work, go to school, and then you know, the last year is always expensive, you know, all the things that you have to pay for. So we've been given a lot of really great letters, you know, from those students that were like, we just couldn't make it over the line if it hadn't been for that fund. So we've done that the last 3 years.
That's wonderful. What excites you about Memphis right now?
I'm kind of excited about this new thing at the Shell. They're going to give some announcement at the Shell.
Ooh.
I can't wait. I love the Levitt Shell. Whether
That's
it
great.
Changes names or not, I don't care. I love it. It's outdoors. It's music that I love. And I know a lot of people love musicals and things like that. I've just never been very drawn to that. But I love the diversity in Memphis. I love the food options that we have, the excellent options that we have. I mean, this is such a great place. You could pick, I mean, so many, and they're all local, you know, local entrepreneurs and their own restaurants. And you just get a sense of home. It's like, this is the largest small town I've ever lived in.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It sure is. Everybody knows everybody.
They
don't
do. They really do. So I used to tell my boys, so be careful how you act, because everybody knows everybody.
That's right. People are watching whether you want them to or not.
Exactly.
Right. Tell us one thing that somebody would be surprised to know about Denise.
I did 5 triathlons.
Oh.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I didn't start till I was 51.
Wow.
Good
that
for
is,
you.
That is definitely a surprising. Well, I shouldn't say that. That sounds bad. That is quite an accomplishment.
No, it's very surprising. But, you know, the fun part is that when you get to be that age, the competition decreases a little.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as competitive as in the 30s and 40s. So I actually got a few medals.
Oh, good for
which
you.
Which I was, you know, so happy about. But the one thing that I've taken from that on into how I try to now get out of my COVID weight and all those other things that we're trying to survive is I love to swim. And so that is just such a, I love it. So that's what I got from triathlon.
Yeah.
That's huge. I do too. That's what I did for exercise.
Do?
Yes, I love to swim. So.
Oh, you should come.
I'm at Rick Neuber Y. I don't know where you are, but. So.
Well, I'm at Lifetime because it's just on the way home.
Yeah. Well, East Memphis, your carnival.
Besides swimming, running, and biking, what else
I don't
do you
run.
Like to do for
I
fun?
I do not run.
Okay.
And I do not bike.
Except
but
for
after
grandchildren.
Right, I did. But then as soon as I stopped doing triathlons, I sold my skinny tire bike and then got a cruiser. But no, running was never really for me.
Sure.
I did it, but I always did the short triathlons.
Okay.
So, you know, it would be like a 5K or it would be, you know, so they call those the sprints.
Sure.
Those were
5K is a sprint.
Well,
I don't know the triathlon lingo, apparently.
The longest one I did was a 300-yard swim, 16.5-mile bike, and a 5K.
Yeah, that's still impressive.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. And it was raining. and it was hilly. So can you imagine going to the top of the hill and then you're going, I cannot put the brakes on because I'm going to fall out of this bike, and you just have to go.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. It was like, anyway, sorry for that. Yeah. I had to
throw
that in.
That is very, very impressive. That is for sure.
Let me ask it this way. Now okay. that you're not biking or running, what else do you like to do for fun?
I love to go to concerts, music, outdoor events, festivals that we have. I love River Arts, love the Pink Palace, you know, all of those. We look so forward to those in the fall, you know, but mainly hang out with my family, which includes all of my grandkids. And we go to the lake, and it's getting ready to crank up again. And then it will be nonstop until Labor Day. And, you know, they're growing up so fast. And so you don't want to miss that time.
Mm-hmm. How many grandchildren do you have now?
I have 5 and David has 6.
Wow. How exciting.
Yeah. So we've got a bunch. And, you know, they're great. And I know this time is fleeting and they will be grown and they won't want to hang out with me.
Right.
So
I don't know. I bet you're the cool grandmother. I bet they do. So, I always like to hang out with you. So. Well, thank you, Denise. This has been so much fun. I always love to be with you, and I'm so impressed with what you're doing. And honestly, just grateful that your company exists, because I know there's a lot of people that have needed you these last 2 years.
Yes, it's been eye-opening. I've never seen anything like it since I've been in nursing. And, you know, I was a nurse for, well, since 1978. I still keep my license up, but what these nurses do now, I'm just in awe of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really am.
Yeah. Well, I'm in awe of you. I appreciate you being here.
You're a good friend.
Thanks
you.
Thanks for the conversation.
Thank you. This was great.
Thank you so much.
If you'd like to learn more about Denise Stewart or her company, OR Nurses Nationwide, please visit our show notes.